Can we please have quiet on the set?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new show on the Minutites podcast channel. And this show is going to be called Script to Screen. And what that it means is I'm going to be reading, or reviewing rather, movie scripts, comparing them to the film versions that we get to see in theaters. Well, depending on certain films, and that'll be the theatrical versions of them. And the reason why I'm doing that, because, well, for a very long time, so I would say since 2003, when I saw Lord of the Rings Return of the King in theaters, it has been my dream to be a screenwriter, a script writer, whichever your preferred term would be. And I've been off and on trying to pursue that, and held off on it for a very long time because a lot of, you know, to paraphrase Dr. Ian Malcolm, life got in the way. And I'm finally not letting it get in the way. I'm actually going to try to pursue my dream of being a screenwriter, and part of that was, reading a filmmaking book that was given to me recently, and in the book it suggested to read the shooting script of a film and watch the film itself and compare notes. And what the shooting script means is that's the script that is on hand while they're shooting the film. At least that's how it was explained in the book. And the film that I decided to start with, because it was just interesting that I even found it on this website, and I'll actually have the link to it in the description for anyone that wants to check out, is the shooting script for, right there in my hands, Addams Family from 1990, I believe it was 1990 or 1991, I don't remember, but I did my review for both Addams Family movies, Addams Family and Addams Family Values, 2 years ago. Anyone that wants to check that one out, please do so. It's in the archives, and it was quite an interesting experience, seeing the script and watching the film and comparing what is different, as far as arranging the arrangement of certain scenes and certain pieces of dialogue and things that are just completely omitted from the film that was featured in the script. And I made quite a bit of notes. I have 6 pages worth of notes right here to compare to, and I'm gonna, just go through my notes little by little and even reference what the actual script is, because I have it on the screen right in front of me right here. One of the first things that's indifferent that I noticed right away when reading the script is how in the opening of the film, you have the carolers outside of the Addams Family Mansion, and they're singing in the film, they're singing Deck the Halls, but in the script it's written that they are singing Little Drummer Boy, and just that little bit of detail, and it's an insignificant detail, but when I saw that, it's like, oh, okay, now I'm curious what other differences are going to be featured on this script. And just going to go over my little notes here, going on from the first page. Yeah, opening Christmas carolers sing Little Drummer Boy in the script, Deck the Halls in the film. And then after that, we have extra lines of dialogue from Gomez when he's outside of Fester's bedroom talking with Thing. Not a lot of crazy dialogue, but it's just stuff that was omitted from the film. I'm going to read to you the actual line right here from the script. It says, "Think of it, Thing. He's been gone for 25 years. For 25 years, we've attempted to contact Fester in the great beyond, and for 25 years, nothing. Not a whisper, not a clue. I'm beginning to think my brother truly is lost." And if you've seen the movie as many times as I have, you'll know that the parts of that dialogue that are omitted from the actual film is saying he's been gone for 25 years, and the part of not a whisper, not a clue. Then the rest of the scene kind of follows suit as it is, where, Thing tugs on the bottom of his pajama pants, and he directs him to the master bedroom suite, where he, comes across his beloved Morticia, and the next little thing that's significantly different from the film is a scene that's completely omitted that is written on here. I'm gonna read my note, and then I'm gonna read the actual description of it on the scene. There's a scene of Pugsley experimenting on himself to shrink to size of mouse in script, absent from film. And I'm going to read the actual description of it right here. There's Pugsley's room. Pugsley crouches on the floor, playing with his kid-sized chemistry set. The walls of his room are covered with road signs he's collected. Bridge out, detour, evacuation ahead, dangerous undertow, keep clear, high voltage, sawed-off stop signs, still on their poles, are stacked in the corner. In another corner stands a cylindrical floor-to-ceiling fish tank filled with piranha. And this tubby, energetic monster of a 9-year-old boy has every chance of growing up to the public to be the public monster his parents would be proud of. He mixes chemicals in a beaker, the brew steams, grinning wickedly, Pugsley swallows it down. He contorts, undergoing the beginnings of a transformation, then shrinks to the size of a mouse. Laughing, he crawls out of his human-sized pajamas. Obviously, that is not featured in the film at all, and is one that I am glad is not featured, because as silly and ridiculous as the Addams Family has always been, going back from the original TV show of the 60s and the original comic strips from written and illustrated by Chris Adams, as well as the other variations of the Addams Family over the years, that one would be just a little too ridiculous, especially in the live-action version that this was. And then we follow to another scene that's completely omitted as well. In the attic, it's a solemn and mournful 10-year-old Wednesday, has black hair and white skin like her mother. She sits on a stool among the stored Addams Family objects, one end of a string tied to her tooth, the other tied to a trap door. And the trap door is flung open. Granny pokes her head through. She is a giggly hag who looks like she was in the bathtub when the hair dryer fell in. The way they describe some of the stuff in here is just quite interesting, really. And it says Wednesday's pulled tooth swings at the end of the string, and Wednesday says, "Thank you, Grandmama." And then in a foul mood, Granny tromps up into the attic. She said, and her little dialogue, "You kids are going to have to kill your own breakfast this morning." And then Wednesday opens a cigar box. Inside the box are assorted human and animal teeth, fangs, and dentures, along with a collection of glass eyes. Wednesday drops her tooth in the box. And then we follow the rest of the scene with Gomez and Morticia in their room. It is as it is in the film, nothing different, or significantly different, rather. Nothing descriptive that's different. And then we follow that up with another scene that's completely omitted. Grandmama with a fog machine that's in the script, but absent from the film. And this is how it is in the script. Granny delivers a swift kick to her fog machine. Her line, "Lousy bucket of bolts." And the fog machine, straight out of a Jules Verne nightmare, is malfunctioning this morning, struggling to churn out its patches of fog. And then back to Gomez and Morticia's room, which is continuing from Grandmama in the attic, with more of, "Granny, where's your fog?" And then the fog machine hurtles downwards, missing decapitating Gomez by millimeters. It crashes down below, smashing through the front porch roof. Standing beside the front door is Lurch, and yeah, it's the rest of the scene where they're giving he's giving Wednesday and Pugsley their lunches for school. And funny, notice how they don't have the scene that we actually do get in the film with Wednesday, where Pugsley gets tied up with an apple in his mouth, and they're playing William Tell, and you know, Wednesday has a crossbow pointed at him. That's featured in the film, but not mentioned at all in the script, which is just making me wonder at what point in the filmmaking and production that they decided to put that in there, rather than, you know, Pugsley shrinking himself down to a mouse and Wednesday having her tooth yanked out with a trapdoor. And then we have the rest of the scene that plays out with the judge, their neighbor across the yard, and, you know, Gomez hitting the golf balls into the apartment, or his home, rather. And then there's a little more to that, where we see Morticia and Gomez actually see Pugsley and Wednesday off to school with the lines, "The little ones off to school, bless them. They grow up so fast, don't they? Too fast." And then the description of the bus, and yeah, there's gleefully hanging from the rear bumper is Pugsley dragging his heels. You know, he's just literally hanging from the bumper of the bus. Yeah, a lot of stuff that's not featured in the film, which is just interesting. And then they have more dialogue from the, you know, in the conservatory, where, you know, Morticia's clipping her roses, as she is very, very, very known to do. It's her signature thing. And Gomez is playing chess with Thing. And there's a few little bits of dialogue that are in there that aren't featured in the film. Yeah, again, nothing too significant, but just little things, I guess, in there that would maybe add a little more detail to it. And then, you know, we have Tully and Margaret coming over there. And then that's when Thing, you know, snaps his fingers and getting his attention. and then very sneakily moves his chess piece. And then when Gomez turns back around, and this one is not featured in there, then we see that thing actually wins the chess game by getting a checkmate on him. Which I wonder why they didn't feature that. That would have been kind of a funny little moment to feature. And the rest of, Tully and Margaret as was in the film. Let me look at my notes here. Thing winning chess game in script absent from film, and then an additional dialogue between Gomez and Tully in their office, in his office, and the script that's absent from the film. I'm not gonna go through the whole thing piece by piece. It's just interesting how many things that are different from here. Thing winning the chess game, and then an exchange of dialogue between Tully and the judge is actually featured in the script, but not in the movie at all, from at least from this part after the after Gomez and Tully have their exchange in the office, before and after they have their little sword fight, and then he comes back from the from getting the monthly expenses. So there's more dialogue from that as well. But yeah, then he has an exchange with the judge afterwards. That's completely omitted from the film, which I would love to know why some a lot of these scenes were, if they were shot and then not used in the film, or if they were just in the script but just never filmed. I'm very curious about that because I'm really curious. That's one thing I've always been curious about when it comes to film, like how they come up with the decisions of what they do shoot that's in the script, and when they if they shoot it, why they decide to omit it from the film. I mean, a lot of times it's pacing and they have time mandates, as it is with certain studios that they like to have a mandated time frame of 2 hours for some of their films. So I'm just curious as to like a film like this, it's an hour and a half, and because this script is 155 pages worth of dialogue and scene description and other things like that. Because of the script, each page is equal to 1 minute of screen time, or at least that's my understanding of it and what I've been told by others who have gone to school for filmmaking. And so obviously the film is not, 2.5 hours. It's an hour and a half, so I just wonder like how much of this was filmed and left on the cutting room floor, and how much of it, was just they decided not to do it anyway. Let me look at more of my notes here. I hope I'm doing a good job at this because this is a new little venture for me that I'm trying to work into here. Because I love film, I love the filmmaking process, and since this is something that I've been wanting to do for a very long time, and I'm finally working towards making that happen, I wanted to share that, love and passion with you guys by, doing things like this. So let me look at my notes here, see if I find anything that's significant. Oh yeah, we get more additional dialogue between Tully and through the film she's, Dr. Pinderschloss, but her actual name is Abigail, which I did not even realize that was her name until looking through the script, which is just, again, finding some of the things that are in here that just are completely different from the film. Because I don't think they ever actually mention her real full name in the film. It's just where he just Tully refers to her, Miss Craven, I think is what he says. Let me look at it again through here. Oh, Mrs. Craven, I was just about to call you. And there's more dialogue in here from between the two. Her name is Abigail Craven, which I don't remember her name actually being mentioned in the whole film. So her name is Abigail Craven, although she's referred to as Dr. Pindishlos, but as she pretends to be to the family when they plot their scheme to turn Gordon into Uncle Fester to try to steal the money from the Adams estate and get rich and just get the fuck out of there. And there's additional dialogue from that is missing or a little different from the film. And then nothing that's actually different from the film compared. More dialogue between Gomez and Morticia when the when Zay and Pugsley are playing with the antenna trying to get struck by lightning. That we get back to the motel afterwards. That in the script, the version of it is Abigail and Gordon, and they're, having this exchange, but Tully is nowhere to be found in the script version, but he is in the film, which is just interesting, the difference of that, because the dialogue is essentially the same, minus the portions of it that would have featured Tully. So, just wonder like where they made how they when at what point they where they made the decision to feature Tully in the scene, because I feel it works better with Tully, but I'm curious to see how it would have worked if they did the have the original version of it without Tully, see how that would have played out. And there's a few scenes that are like that in throughout the script that are just alternate versions of what we see in the movie, and not compl and others of course that are completely omitted, which I already mentioned before, like Pugsley turning into a mouse. And then, yeah, let me look at my notes here. Because I got 6 pages worth of notes that I took while watching this earlier today. And yeah, additional dialogue between Tully and Margaret when they arrive at the house for the seance in Fester's honor. Yeah, nothing significant. And more dialogue exchanged with Morticia when she enters the room. And then more dialogue at the intro of the seance. And let me just read this one because this one, it's an off-screen piece of dialogue, or monologue rather. It says, "Let us gather in this house of yearning, on this day of heartsick loss, at this table of woe. Is everyone comfortable?" And then we cut to the rest of the film that a scene as it plays out in the film, but there's still also more additional lines with Morticia addressing Wednesday and Wednesday responding as accordingly. It's just from generations to generations, our beacon to the beyond, and then she passes it over to Wednesday. She says, "Do you accept the glorious burden?" And then Wednesday taking, this little raven statue, says, "May it weigh me down through all my melancholy years." And here. And yeah, there's a couple more things that are a little different. Nothing too significant, as I've said. And it's just it's a fascinating aspect of the filmmaking process. Looking through the script, even if the script is like 99% the same as the film, just seeing what slight alterations or and omissions are just in there is a fascinating thing to realize. Especially like when there's like deleted scenes of certain films, like on like home releases, like on the DVDs and Blu-rays and all that, and then you wonder like why was this omitted from the film? Sometimes you can watch it and understand why it was taken out, and other times you sit there and wonder like, why? This would have worked perfectly fine. Like on the MCU's Incredible Hulk from 2008, there's a lot of extended versions of certain scenes that it makes me wonder like, why did they cut this out? Because, but I feared, maybe it was a pacing thing and they had a mandate on the time of the film. But it happens and I understand it. Nothing wrong with that. Sometimes certain films work better in a shorter time frame, and others work better at a longer time frame. It is what it is. And there's also more to the scene after Fester is, reintroduced to the family, even though it's supposed to be Gordon pretending to be Fester. It's where it's after, he's unpacking and Morticia helps him unpack, that there's a slightly little different version of, I guess like an arrangement of the sequence of events. Look at the way I wrote it on here. And it says, scene with Fester and Wednesday. Sorry, yeah, Fester attempting to sneak out and being caught by Wednesday, and looking at the photos of flora and fauna sequenced differently in the script and in the film, because the way it's presented in the script, let me look at it here. Don't preach. And the way it's sequenced in the script is that he looks at the photos of flora and fauna, and then he tries to sneak out, and that's when Wednesday catches him. But as we do see it in the film, he tries to sneak out, then he gets caught by Wednesday, turns back, gets back into the room, calls her a nosy little brat, and sees the photo of flora and fauna, then opens the door again, and then sees that the door is shut and has a little hanging doll on the doorknob. But in the script, yeah, he sees the pictures first, then tries to sneak out, and then rather than seeing the hanging doll on the doorknob in the like as we do in the movie, he just exits, and then we catch him in the attic. I guess he's still trying to find the vault, and there's a little interaction between him and Wednesday because he sees, let me look at it here. He sees a large case that's 3 feet high and very wide, and it's empty. And then Wednesday says it's reserved. He asks for what, and she says for Skipper, and he asks, if that's a dog, and she says, no, if Skipper isn't a dog, that would be cruel. And he says, of course not. And then her response, he's a bully. So, yeah. And then it says, yeah, he backs away from her. So, that makes me wonder if they filmed that and decided not to use it because it was just funnier the way it's presented in the film. Which, I mean, is kind of a funny and interesting exchange, but I feel the way it's done in the film works a lot better. I mean, honestly, I would say that the theatrical version that we got of the Addams Family is just flows from start to finish perfectly well, and I wouldn't change anything, honestly. I really enjoyed it very much. But yeah, it's just interesting to see the things that are significantly different between the two. And then there's more dialogue and exchanges of between the family when they're at breakfast, and then the part when Pugsley enters the family, into the kitchen when they're eating breakfast, when he has the stop sign. That's not in the script at all. That's it is in the film. Then we get more exchanges of dialogue when Fester and Gomez are going to the vault. And again, nothing too crazy, nothing too significant, but just curious about why it was omitted. I feel like I'm repeating myself by saying that, which I'm probably gonna be saying that a lot. Yeah, more exchanges of dialogue. Talking about Christmas and Santa coming down the chimney, hanging his stockings, building a fire. Yeah, I'm just gonna actually just go through my notes because what's going doing it through the script, it's gonna hurt my head, honestly. Yeah, Pugsley with the stolen stop sign, absent from the script, present in the film, and an additional dialogue between Gomez and Fester before they enter the vault, and then Fester in the vault, and Wednesday electrocuting Pugsley sequenced differently in the film, and there's additional dialogue from Gomez and Fester when he's choking him, when he's asking them trying to get the secret password. And actually, in the script, we find out that when he calls him Demented Freak, in the script, that is the secret password. And in the script, Gomez embraces him because of it. But in the movie, we don't get that. It's just after he says Demented Freak, and Gomez says, oh, Lord, what did they do to you in that Bermuda Triangle? And let me look here. Yeah, additional dialogue between Pugsley and Wednesday before she electrocutes him, that's absent from the script, I mean, as absent from the film version, and then. There's additional lines of dialogue between Gomez, Morticia, and the judge, and Margaret during the charity auction, which is one of my favorite scenes because it's just so absurdly ridiculous that they're the ones that offered the finger trap for the charity auction, but then they're buying it back at the auction. And there's more dialogue when they're in the car driving home from the auction, and then dialogue exchange. From up with Morticia, Pugsley, and Wednesday in the bedroom when Gomez is playing with the trains and having his little moment with that. And I have a headache. Let me get my water because I'm starting to feel a little lightheaded and dizzy. That's good. Because I think, yeah, the dialogue it explains that they're actually looking at photo albums of Fester and Gomez when they were children. And a couple more lines of dialogue when he with him playing his trains. And then the sequence of Morticia, and when she's in the kitchen with Grandmama, is arranged slightly a little differently. Like that, I think it's that when Wednesday is coming is with the knife, that happens before she has the exchange with the Grandmama about what to do about Gomez. And then there's also additional dialogue for that as well. And then additional line from Wednesday after the sword fight that Fester, gets mad at because they don't try to actually, slaughter each other for real. And there's actually more dialogue after the explosion in the yard when Fester's trying to teach him about how to kill people and other stuff like that. And there's actually different, slightly altered lines when Morticia's at the school with Wednesday's teacher. Like there's a line when she's like, oh, Wednesday's told us so much about you, and then asks her about her husband, which reading it from the script, it kind of, I guess, implies that the husband had either left her or that something happened to the husband and he went missing. And then there's also like a difference where in the film, you know, when she talked about the one of the students, Harmony Feld, like, oh, Harmony Feld has picked Chain Polly. In the script, she picked Diane Sawyer, which is just interesting. How, yeah, in the opening, the carolers singing Little Drummer Boy in the script, Harmony Feld picked Diane Sawyer in the script, but in the film, we get Deck the Halls and Chain Polly. And there's also more exchanges of dialogue between Gomez and Tully about Uncle Fester when they're at the school and have the little exchange with the kid. Like, oh, I made this myself. He's an elf. And let me look through here. And there's also a scene of a grandmama that's she's selling Toad on a stick that's omitted from the film, but it was in the script. And then there's also scenes of dialogue between Gomez and the judge as they're entering the auditorium for the play. And then another little difference here. Then instead of the kids that singing "Getting to Know You" in the film, in the script, they're singing "We Are the World," which again, just wondered why. I don't know, for that, I would think maybe it's a rights issue, getting the legal rights for them to sing "We Are the World" as opposed to "Getting to Know You." You know, so that would be my assumption at least. Then there's another exchange of dialogue, additional dialogue between Gomez and Morticia when they're in the cemetery after the play. More dialogue between Fester and Abigail and Morticia at the breakfast table after all of that stuff. And a scene with Fester in Morticia's conservatory snipping roses before they had the farewell party for Fester in there. And there's also exchange of dialogue that's completely omitted from the film. I don't know if they actually filmed it, but yeah, an exchange with cousins Dexter and Donald and Ophelia wondering where Fester is. And then there's a scene of Fester and Abigail, you know, Dr. Pinderschloss, in Fester's room, you know, where he's trying on outfits, and then also where she's, you know, where she's starting to shave his head. That those scenes are completely omitted from the film. I mean, I am curious to see how much of these things that were in the script, if they actually did film it. And then there's more dialogue between Tully and Margaret that were on the dance floor before interrupted with by Cousin It. And then there's more lines of more the dialogue between the flora and fauna with Tully, you know, when they're explaining, you know, the how, you know, significant, you know, Fester is, you know, now he's the head of the family because he's the eldest living relative. That there's more lines to that exchange as well. And look through here. Yeah, scene with Morticia and Grandma over food is in the script. That's not in the film. Yeah, because it's a, you know, apparently, like that, you know, it's like, oh, this is your finest spread yet, or something like that. And it's a two-headed pig, which I wondered how that would have looked, really. And even more exchanges of dialogue actually during the. Let me look through here. Yeah, more lines of from Morticia when she's introducing Fester to the party, and then there's even additional lines of dialogue from Gomez and Fester during the mamushka, which I think that's probably in the, you know, more mamushka version of the film that's available on you know, you can get it on Amazon Prime if you'd like to check that out. I think you can only rent it or buy it. It's not, you know, free for streaming on there. But yeah, they have it on there in 4K. It's called At the Addams Family with a More Mamushka. And an exchange of dialogue between Morticia and Margaret when Cousin It is leaving after the party, where, you know, Margaret, she's fawning over Cousin It, which, I mean, we already see that in the film, but just this little moment would have been nice to see, honestly. Her and Morticia just having that moment where, you know, she's embracing the family more. And we get to see that at the end when we see that her and It are officially together, and then we get in the sequel when they're married and they have Cousin What. And see, then there's lines of dialogue between the judge when he's awarding Fester the as legal executor of the Addams Estate, and even more dialogue between Tully and Gomez when they're outside the gate when he gets the restraining order. And more of then there's a scene of dialogue with the family when they're at the motel that's completely omitted from the film. And a dialogue between Morticia and the woman at the employment agency, and an additional scene of Fester discussing what to do with the once they find the vault, of like, you know, what countries and islands they can run off to and shit like that. And apparently also there's a scene of Lurch trying to sell a vacuum cleaner that's not in the film, but it's in the script. And then the scene with a thing delivering FedEx packages, that's in the film, not in the script at all. So again, curious about that. And omitted from the film is shows in the script that Gomez is watching Jeopardy when they're at the hotel. And then rather than watching Sally Jesse Raphael as he does in the film, he's actually watching Geraldo. But it's more essentially the same kind of subject, but instead of the, you know, voodoo witch doctors, it's zombies. So that's a curious little change. And then rather than saying, you know, go drive and Miss Gilligan, he says Miss Matlock. Yeah, which, I mean, it's funnier than and Miss Gilligan, which, yeah, it's Gilligan, so that's that one works. There's actually also an additional scene that's in the script of Morticia on Wednesday talking about Fester at the motel, you know, wondering, like, who he really is and why Dr. Pindershloss is doing this to the family. And then we actually do get a little bit more scenes, dialogue with Fester and Abigail, and I think it's different from the version that we see where, you know, he's at the gate just kind of, you know, sulking and missing the family. That in this version they're actually in his room, kind of having a similar exchange. Well, actually, no, it's not even a similar exchange. It's kind of a creepy exchange, like almost a Norman Bates, you know, American Psycho kind of thing of, you know, the obsession and the relationship between the mother and son. And we also get a moment of Morticia and the gate that's not in the film, and more dialogue between Tully and Morticia. Mainly it's a lot of just additional dialogue, really. It's just, it's interesting, and it just makes me wonder about why certain things were altered or completely omitted, and whether they even filmed them to begin with. But yeah, I'll have the link to the script on here. It's a PDF file from the website that was suggested on the book that I've been reading. And yeah, shit, I've been going a little over 30 minutes talking about this. Yeah, I hope to stay good, I guess, first episode of, you know, script to screen. I'm gonna try to do better because it's my first time attempting such a venture. But again, it's, you know, it's because I'm trying to finally realize my dream of being a screenwriter, and this is part of the process. Reading the script, comparing it to the actual film. There's quite a few of them, actually. I have a list of them. Probably the next one I'm going to do, because I'm looking at my list right now. Let me see. I have it right here in my little handy-dandy notebook. So yeah, I have the Addams Family, check that off the list. I also got Ghostbusters, Superman the Movie, Godfather Part 3. Boondock Saints. I think I'm gonna go with Ghostbusters next. You know, that'll be an interesting one to check out. Or maybe I'll do Superman the Movie, but I'll have to decide if I want to do the theatrical version or the extended version to compare with the script, because maybe the script would have a lot of the extended version stuff that's in there. But you know, we'll see once I get to that one. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed this premiere edition of Script to Screen. If you liked it, give it a thumbs up on YouTube or give me a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts or any other thing like Spotify or anyone else. I can get the, if you click the link in the description of this, you can find all the links to my social media, Twitter, Instagram, Vero, Snapchat, TikTok. And you can also get all the links to where you can find content from the Man Tides Podcast, YouTube, Spotify, Google Podcasts, CastBox, Radio Public, Stitcher, Podbean, Apple Podcast, and a whole bunch of them. Honestly, I can't remember all of them off the top of my head. And also my merchandise in the Menotides Podcast store, which I'm gonna do have more stuff coming out soon. Especially because, you know, if you haven't checked out my most recent mental health awareness show that I did with a Madame Chantal that I did a week ago as of this recording, please check that out. And also, going forward with my mental health stuff, I'll be actually rebranding it as Mental Health in Tights to go along with the Men in Tights Podcast brand. Though a couple of people don't seem to be supportive of that. It's, you know, it's like, you know, trying to incorporate my brand in something with mental health? Well, you know what? That's exactly why, because it's my brand. I can do whatever I want. But yeah, thank you all so much for watching, for listening, for subscribing. If you're not already, please do so. And I love and appreciate every single one of you who do check out everything that I do. And if you have any suggestions of films you would like to see me do a script to screen comparison, feel free to suggest that. I'm happy to look into that. If I can find a good script, whether it's the shooting script or the final draft script, if it's available, I will happily do that. But yeah, thank you all so much for watching, for listening, for subscribing. I love and appreciate every single one of you who do or truly, genuinely do. And I hope you all are doing well, staying safe, staying healthy, taking care of yourselves and your loved ones. And I will check all of you on the next one. Bye-bye.